All right, Cubs fans, what a game. I can't believe it. That was the most amazing thing I have seen since game one. That was incredible.
Wow, coming strong with the verbal irony.
Kurt looked like he was ready to punch me.
Yeah, if I could reach through this screen, you'd be in trouble.
This is the NLCS Game 3 post-game show. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I'm joined by the other two hosts of the podcast.
Hey, it's Andy.
And Kurt.
All right, so, and we're getting some weird noises. Can you guys hear that? Yeah.
It's probably just my phone.
Yeah,
sorry.
No, that's all right. That was it. Man, what a bummer of a game. I guess let's. I have no notes at all. I wrote down a couple things, but I just don't think they matter. I tweeted out and everything that this is kind of like a group therapy session tonight, I think. Because I just can't, I don't know. Anyway, so let's, I think maybe if we just all three kind of shared where we are mentally, maybe, because I think a lot of Cubs fans are feeling a lot of frustration after game three. And I think we've been really positive about the Cubs, even when other people weren't. And I'll admit, guys, tonight affected me. And I tried really hard to get in a better mental state at different points during the game, and I just couldn't do it. I had a hard time finding silver linings and really finding much optimism anywhere.
I'm with you feeling? As far as tonight goes, that's for sure. I was all over the map. I mean, the sheer anger of the middle innings was just, I was just full of rage. I've come down from my rage, and now I'm just sort of like, I don't know, whatever about it. I mean, I've been able to sort of like, since the anger, I've been able to come down and say, well, you know, find some optimism and say, well, they're down 2-1. You win tomorrow. It's an even series. So there's sure. That. Mm-hmm. But if you dwell on the individual performances and the lack of offense of tonight, it's so frustrating. But then there's the other voice on the other shoulder saying, like, we know this is the best team over a full season, and they basically just lost a 3-game series. That's all that just happened. They looked horrible, right? Nobody can argue that. But if I can muster any optimism, it's that they lost a 3-game series. You move on, and now it's, you got to win 3 out of 4, you know? So,
yeah. Well, I mean,
as optimistic as I can get right now.
Right. And I think that, like, well, okay, Andy, so where are you at? You look defeated, brother.
I was pretty down about it. But I don't know, over the game, I was just trying to tell myself I didn't invite baseball into my life to feel terrible, you know, like this. And so I'm just trying to keep the mindset that I it's not worth poisoning myself and others. I just don't think negativity does anything. And, you know, I don't think that just being stupidly irrationally optimistic does anything necessarily either. But it's not worth poisoning yourself.
I agree with you.
Yeah. And I totally agree too. I just have a hard time making what you said reality.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I understand that.
Yeah. I agree with you that it's not worth ruining my day. It's not me. It's not worth me ruining other people's days around me. But at the same time, like, as fans, we are invested in what this team does. And especially in years like this, where, I mean, as podcasters, we're very invested. We have spent a lot of time on this 2016 team. We spent a lot of time on the previous 8 years, in a way, what feels like building up to this. And tonight was just kind of like a punch to the gut.
It's tough when you're as invested as we are in something that you have no control over.
That's a good point.
That is That sums it up right there.
And I think it's important to know that, like, I'm not saying that we are more affected than anyone else, you know, a fan of the Cubs, because that's what we are. And I think, like, what we feel is exactly what everyone else feels. Yeah. I just, in a way, I wish I didn't have to talk tonight.
Yeah, I'm with you, too. I mean, there was a point where he got bad, and both of my boys, who are 4 and 2, we're having a little tough bedtime tonight, which when you're 4 and 2, that happens. And I was not being nice. I wasn't being patient. I wasn't being a good dad tonight. And that's when it dawned on me where, like kind of building on what Andy said, like, this is not what baseball is supposed to do to you, but it does.
Mm-hmm.
And that made me feel really stupid, but also really like, I don't know. I mean, I was a bit of ashamed that that's how I was acting and that's how I was feeling. But I can imagine there's a lot of people out there that aren't super thrilled with the way they dealt with tonight. But I think the good news is we can hopefully put it behind us and move to tomorrow. And, you know, they're not out of it. Again, I'm saying this to myself as well. And this optimism isn't real. It's just me saying what I think I need to say.
So you're trying to convince yourself.
Yeah. You know, they're not out of it. You win tomorrow. I mean, tomorrow's a must win. Let's just say that.
It is. And in a way, I felt like today was kind of a must win. And I think when you have just Kershaw looming wherever they choose to use him, it's just like it makes every other game feel like a must win.
Well, and then with the way he'll pitch tonight, you've got Kershaw and Hill.
Yeah.
So,
and I mean,
lefties who can pitch are not the Cubs' strength.
Yeah. I just I was pretty down most of the game tonight, or all of the game, to be honest. And I kind of like I really struggled with trying to get into the what I felt like was a right frame of mind, that knowing that we were going to sit behind mics and not wanting to be like just pissed off and depressed, and wanting to be able to find some optimism within myself to be able to share with other people. I honestly couldn't find it. Luckily, Michael from Galesburg came over to watch the game with me tonight. And so that was kind of a nice little distraction that we could joke about other things. And I think if I was sitting there by myself or just me and Tawny, I think I would have just been, I don't know, experiencing.
That's how I was. What you're trying to describe is what I was.
See, you know, so
I
mean, instead,
I walked away. I left. I went downstairs. I mean, we have a TV upstairs, and that's where I was watching it. And I went downstairs and just sat in silence.
Yeah,
for 10 minutes, because I'm thinking, me watching this for 10 minutes isn't going to change anything. I just need to get in a better headspace.
Yeah, and I think that Michael and I worked on coming up with solutions for this team. We kicked around a lot of different ideas. What we settled on is a private, you know, one of Joe Madden's signature keep the clubhouse loose moves, and we think he should probably bring in Weird Al. So I think a private Weird Al concert. I think that's going to be what, and we kicked around a lot of ideas, but that's what we settled on.
I think he should bring in, here's my ideas. He should bring in a boa constrictor and let it almost kill Tommy La Stella.
I'm not opposed to anything.
Some people in the chat weren't into that idea.
That almost not.
Okay. One thing that broke me out of my stupor was Rizzo, was Rich Hill throwing over to first with Rizzo on base with no intention of stealing. He threw over like, I don't know, 10 times.
Right.
And then Rizzo actually then just stole second. Yeah. And I laughed a lot out loud on that in that moment. But I mentioned on the last podcast that lefties actually have a little bit higher batting average against Rich Hill this season. And I think that maybe it's a mistake against Rich Hill to go so right-hand heavy in the lineup, because I think Rizzo looked actually pretty effective at the plate tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's just because he's Rizzo, but
the at-bats were definitely better.
Well, I don't know. I thought the worst at-bat that I saw. Well, it's funny. So I was talking with Bob today, and I was telling him I thought the worst at-bat that I've seen this series was Montero's grand slam, strangely. But I thought Hayward's at-bat tonight was just brutal. You know, he took two right down the middle and then swung at one that strike three was like down in the dirt at his feet. And that was really frustrating. And I understand that he didn't get the start and he was coming in cold, which he probably hasn't done a lot of in his career. But he's played baseball long enough, you would think he can come in, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I just, and this is something that I think that one of the reasons that it is so frustrating is I found myself at times saying the same things that I said during the Cubs Mets NLCS series last year. You know, like there were times in this game where the Cubs hit the ball hard and they were just hitting it right at players, you know, at defenders. And there was just like these little moments. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, and I honestly am at kind of at a loss. I just don't know what to say. And I think if you're a Cubs fan and you're feeling as down as we are tonight, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And
No, we're not taking anybody to task for however you're feeling or being angry or whatever.
I glanced at Twitter and there were some negative tweets about the team sent our way on Twitter. And I found that like all of a sudden I started to defend the Cubs a little bit. So I was like, that's what I need to get me in a, like an optimistic spot is other people need to say negative things. So then, I mean, like my friend, so I'd mentioned on the podcast, I have a friend that's a Giants fan and he and I kind of went back and forth. He's a Giants fan. And he and I went back and forth a little bit during that series. And then he tweeted me or texted me tonight, you know, about how the Cubs choke on the big stage and stuff. And so then instantly I'm like, well, BABIP, what, you know, I start going to these things and I was like, gosh, dang it. That's what we said last year. I don't want to say that every year.
Well, my brother and I were texting back and forth tonight about how, I mean, once the game felt a little out of hand, then you start going into these tangents but we were discussing a bit how the difference in European sports and American sports and how like in American sports, it's championship or nothing. Like 103 win season is meaningless if you do not win the World Series. But, you know, in the premiership, it's not a meaningless regular season win, you know, so right. We were going back and forth about that. Of course, it doesn't help anybody out here, but it's funny how you get on these side tangents conversations when you're feeling down, but
yeah. And I just think it's,
but I just one more point of like, they played horrible for a couple of games. There's no denying that. And nothing we can say can change that.
Right.
But they lost a 3-game series.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all that just happened. And so if we can pull back a little bit, that's not the end of the world. If this is the regular season, we're done. We have exhausted conversation on the issue. The offense didn't show up, whatever, they'll show up next series. But it's the playoffs, and you don't get to have that.
Right, which just really sucks because I feel like it's so easy for people to, I mean, things I saw on social media today, you know, the Cubs can't hit the ball. Just everything you've heard. And it's like, no, that doesn't match what, it just really sucks that such a small sample determines what the narrative is on a team. And that really, I mean, let's be honest, this team has very few flaws. As far as, I mean, this is a team that won 103 games. They had, the third most runs scored, the best run differential, an amazing pitching staff, an incredible defense. Like, that's what you want. And that's what gets you to the playoffs. That's what wins you 103 games. And then once you get in the playoffs, it is a game by game crapshoot. And I think that's kind of a hard thing for people to wrap their heads around that. Like, I don't know if you can necessarily, like, you can't I think you build a good team and you hope that they're good in the playoffs. I don't think you can build, I don't think in the offseason you can build a team for the playoffs.
Yeah, but I think that partly is what's so frustrating is that this team is built well in all areas. You mm-hmm. know, the pitching staff was one of the best. The defense was the best. The offense was one of the best. The run differential was huge. And so, yeah, like I was just trying to be optimistic. Now I'm going the other way and saying, so they were built to win 103 games, and now they're built to win in the playoffs, and they're not performing. And, yeah, that's crazy frustrating.
Right. But totally understandable, yes. Because yep, you are playing the other teams that are the best. You're facing the pitchers that are the best. And you have a ton of pressure. And I honestly think, you know, Michael and I were watching tonight. It's like, you know, I felt like they needed a good base hit without two outs. They needed to start stringing something together. The best opportunity that they had to score tonight was in the second inning. They did not get a hit in the second inning. they ended the inning with runners on second and third. At one point, I think it was second and third, one out, and they didn't even get a hit that inning, which kind of goes back to what I think I said on the podcast last night, that like this is a team that really can generate runs. Unfortunately, they didn't tonight. But I mean, and I think, you know, generating runs like that without hits, that might win you a 1-0 game or a 2-1 game. It's not gonna help you win. The other team scores half a dozen runs.
Well, and also this it's like going back to your narrative thing, people saying, well, it's the 2015 NLCS all over again. This team already got to their NLCS opponent as recently as Saturday.
Sure. Yeah.
And so they know that they can win against the Dodgers. They have to have some efficacy in the series where maybe they didn't last season. So hopefully that informs their performance going forward.
Yeah. I'll have to say, I had a lot of frustration tonight with Jake Arrieta too.
Well, and we texted back and forth a lot about this, and I'll let you make your,
well, I guess my main point is just that, Jake Arrieta is a really good pitcher, and I found it very frustrating that, I don't have the box score in front of me. I don't have anything. I'm just going off of memory, and I don't remember. I don't know if you guys have it, but I mean, the two, they scored two innings in a row. What was it, the third and fourth, I think?
They scored one in the third and two in the fourth.
Right. And I think all three of those runs were scored with two outs. And yeah. I that was very frustrating for me because I thought, you know what, Jake Arrieta is good enough. He's a good enough pitcher that I have an expectation of him to be able to get an out in a key spot when he needs one. And when you have two outs, that out can come basically anyway. You know, you can let somebody make contact and still get the out. You can strike him out, whatever. And like Jake Arrieta has been dominant enough that like I have that expectation of him. And maybe that's not fair. But
yeah, and that's
what was very frustrating is me that those came with two outs, and I felt like that that did not help the tone of this game for the Cubs.
And as we were texting back and forth, I had the sort of like opposite take that like I thought Jake's stuff was really good through the first three. He was making good pitches, and he looked nasty. I mean, I was pretty confident going in that. And that home run ball was down. I mean, he went down and got it. It wasn't not. I don't think it was a mistake pitch.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up with Justin Turner's eyes?
Are we talking about Turner, not Urias?
Well, Turner hit that home run you were talking about, right?
Right.
Oh, was it Turner? Yeah.
His eyes are black. It's just. Okay. Sorry. Okay. Keep going.
I have no idea. I didn't notice. I was too busy like pouting, I think.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. So, but Grandal hit the home run in the fourth.
Right.
One on. Yes. So the two run homer. Mm-hmm. And that's the one that I remember being down, and he went down.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It was. You're right.
Yeah. Well, but anyway, I'm saying up to that.
The ball to Turner, though, was also low as well. I just wanted to note that the one that he hit out was pretty low, too.
So I guess I'm going to hate on Jake's stuff. I think he pitched well. The first few innings, he looked really good. He was making pitches, getting strikeouts. My counter argument to your being to hating on Jake was that this is on the offense's complete inability to relieve any pressure on a starting pitcher. And the starting pitching has been so good. And now here we are in game three. They've done well. Okay, let's forget game one. In the last two games, they've done nothing to eliminate any pressure on the starter. Mm-hmm. And I think Jake put that on himself and tried to carry that load and didn't. And you know, if they scored in the second on Hill, Jake's a little more relaxed. He makes better pitches. You know, this is all speculation, but I think that if the offense is performing, there's less pressure on the starter, and maybe it's a different game. And
I agree with
what your point that Jake should be able to get that out with two outs, and that's frustrating, but I think he made good pitches and they hit it
well, and he made a couple pitches before the big hits that he would often get the call on. Mm-hmm. There were a couple pitches that were borderline that, you know, very frequently he has gotten called strikes on, and he didn't get them tonight. You know, and I saw the replay of the pitches, and it looked like they were good calls. I'm not saying the umpire blew it, but they were borderline pitches that, you know, have been called pretty frequently for Jake in the past.
Yeah. While we're on the topic of strike zone and everything and umpires, I have to say I really kind of like that they don't show the strike zone
pitch tracks.
Yeah, I actually kind of like that because I don't think it's reasonable to expect a game to be called perfectly, especially when you have someone like Rich Hill, where they said on the broadcast, who can tell where that thing crosses the plate, you know? Yeah. And so in a way I kind of liked it when they were like when they would show examples of that. But at the same time, like, I just don't think it's we're talking like when it feels like the Cubs got a bad call, you know, it was maybe like missed by an inch or something. I mean, it's just so minuscule. And I don't think that like umpires are the reason that I haven't really felt like any game was egregious as far as the strike zone goes, or, you know, the Cubs getting the, you know, a bum deal or anything like that. But
yeah, I agree.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't remember the other games, but definitely not tonight. There may have been some missed calls, but
yeah,
like you said, I mean, calling those curveballs for or against Hill, like that's impossible.
Yeah, and I just think that I think it kind of ruins baseball, at least for me, when I am second guessing every single pitch and every single call, and it's you know, really just a minuscule difference. And I think it's better for me personally that stuff's not there. And, you know, when it's a really bad call, then they tend to show that, you know, and that's kind of, I like that it's not like, if you don't feel like you're getting like some, like propaganda, like to make sure that the umpires don't look bad. It seems like broadcast teams are and the broadcasts themselves are ready to, you know, show when, oh, looks like he got that one a little bit wrong. So, I don't know what else to say. I mean, we can move on, I guess. I mean, it is what it is. And I think it's, I mean, why don't you guys briefly kind of preview game four?
Yeah, Julio Urias is the Dodgers starter. The Cubs have seen him twice this season, and the performance they had against him in early June, where the Dodgers came to Wrigley Field, they touched him up for five earned runs, and so they had a big day against him that particular day. They also saw him later on, late in August, August 27th, and he only gave up one earned run in that game and struck out eight. So he had a much better showing against the Cubs in that game. As far as numbers that jump out to me as for how Cubs batters have performed against him, I guess Chris Bryant has done well. He has hit a homer off of Urias. You got a lot of guys that have multiple hits against him. Baez and Hayward have also homered against him. So a lot of the Cubs have had success, although nobody has more than 6 plate appearances against him. So it's all small sample size type of stuff.
Yeah, I think when it comes to the Cubs offense, I think their history against him is less important than them just getting back on track as a team. Yeah. Across the board, start hitting the ball. And I mean, you know, Baez is still, you know, Baez has played a really good postseason and he hit the ball hard tonight. Chris Bryant, you know, has had, you know, even when the offense just hasn't been there, it seems like those two guys are still hitting the ball well. And, but yeah, it's just they need to kick everything into gear, you know, like
it's still, yeah. I mean, it's nice to be able to say, like, as you know, as recently as June, they destroyed this pitcher they're going to face, sure.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's, yeah, the other thing is, like, it's baseball is so difficult but so simple. If they could just get back to, like, working good at bats and, like, as cliche as it is, one at a time, working at bat, moving on to the next guy. And that's the things they aren't doing. So hopefully they can turn that around and do that tomorrow. But moving on to the Dodgers versus Lackey. He didn't face the Dodgers this year at all, but he did face them last year, which, you know, you can probably throw out the window, but he did have a really good start against him last year when he was with the Cardinals. He shut him out. He went, he pitched 7 innings, gave up 5 hits and no runs and struck out 9. So in the one start he had against him last year, it was really good. And a couple of guys did have a decent performance against him. Gonzalez had a hit and Turner was 2 for 4. Other than that, the lineup was pretty quiet. So, you know, Lackey does have a slight history of success against the Dodgers, but again, I don't think that's super relevant into tomorrow. I think what's more relevant is that he has postseason experience. He knows what he has to do. And hopefully he shows up with his best stuff tomorrow.
You know what? One thing that stands out to me about Lackey versus the current Dodgers is no one has homered off of Lackey. And a lot of these guys have seen Lackey a lot. The main guy that looks concerning would be Adrian Gonzalez, who has seen Lackey 24 times, and has a .304 batting average. Other than that, there's not that much that looks alarming.
Yeah. Yeah, the other guys who do have higher averages, like Turner, have only had a few at-bats against him, so not a lot to draw from that. But
yeah.
But yeah, Turner has hit him well in the very few at-bats.
Yeah, I think it's just really important for him to come out and just shut it down, you know. And I think it's a weird thing because you, like, Lackey also seems like the type of guy that could, like, almost get himself into trouble by overthrowing and trying to do too much. But he's just got so much experience, and and really, it's not up to Lackey. It shouldn't be up to Lackey, especially against a pitcher like they're facing tomorrow. This offense has to get it going, and however that happens, and I don't think it's necessarily like, I don't think it has to be base hits and home runs right away. I think if they can draw some walks and put pressure on it, but you know, he's got that crazy, that's one thing to look for tomorrow, is he's got that crazy balk throw to first that they don't call as a balk. So that could kind of shut down our running game, because that is like a totally illegal move. And actually Joe Maddon was asked about that in his press conference today. And he said something about hoping that the umpires were going to be paying attention. Did you guys see that in the game? I think it was in game 5 of
the NLDS. Nationals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I did see that.
So hopefully they're keeping an eye on that. But I mean, that's something that could potentially shut down the running game. But I really would like.
Tad wants an over under on called box in tomorrow's game. Set it at 1.5.
It'll probably be zero, of course.
But I do think that, I mean, yeah, the running game is the least of their concerns. They just have to keep the pressure on him.
No, but I think what
they
I mean is
get guys on and then,
right. Well, what I mean is, I think that if the Cubs can get on base, like like you mentioned Rizzo's stolen base, like I think that's the type of thing that could actually kind of spark this team. You know, it's something that was like you weren't expecting at all. What did Rizzo have, 3 stolen bases this season? I mean, it just wasn't really expected. And it feels like, you know, if they could have come through with a base hit after that and scored him, like that's the kind of thing that can kind of change the tone and change the climate in the dugout and just kind of get everything going. And, I mean, we've seen this team just jump all over pitchers and like get shut down for 3/4 of a game and then just jump on a pitcher. And I think that that's what... Like it's going to take that, like stringing things together to where, I mean, think back to game 3 of the, or I'm sorry, game 4 of the NLDS. Like when that started in the 9th inning, like it just seemed like nothing could stop them and they were just like stringing things together and it just seemed inevitable. And I think they need to find a way to have at least an inning or two like that. And, you know, I think it would be great to see it like they've done, like they did in game one of the NLCS, do it in the first couple innings. You know, they really just generated some runs. I think they only did it off. They scored 3 runs off like 2 hits in the first 2 innings. And I think that's the kind of stuff that needs to happen. If they're, you know, even if they're not hitting the ball, just generate something. I think they've got it. They desperately need to change. It's almost like they're going to the plate knowing that the entire team is struggling. You know, I don't feel like they're going up there with a clean slate at all. It feels like they're going up with some baggage from everything else that's going on. Mm-hmm. That said, like that kind of reminds me though, that like, it's very important to realize that they just face 2 pitchers that when they're on are extremely tough. I mean, Kershaw is Kershaw, possibly the best pitcher of our generation, although it's not our generation anymore. I don't think.
But I was thinking about Rich Hill's stuff. Like those 2 pitches that he throws are so different from each other.
Right.
That it would be so easy to be off balance against it.
Right. That's what I'm thinking is like, these aren't 2 like normal pitchers. These are both pitchers that can really kind of stymie an offense, you know, and that's what like, I just feel like that's what happened tonight when he's got that curveball going and then, you know, he doesn't have like a blazing fastball, but there's such a difference in velocity. I mean, the result when he's on, the result is what we saw tonight.
Right. Cause the fastball looks like a curveball at the apex of its curve.
Yeah.
You know, when it's coming in, and so it just
doesn't
really
drop.
Gets hitters off balance.
Yeah.
You can't sit on anything.
And with the way he changes his arm slot, and I mean, it's just, he's really tough. And I don't think that I you look at the next Urias and oh my gosh, who started game 1?
Fudge.
Maeda, right. Yeah. I mean, I think like those are, geez, it's been a long night. Those 2 guys are guys that they can take care of. And it's these other 2, I think, that have the potential to really, really baffle them. And that's what we've seen. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like,
unfortunately, they've got to face these guys again. That's what, you know, I'm going back and forth, optimism and crap. So,
yeah. Well, I mean,
they're going to have to beat Kershaw. I mean, they're going to have to beat one of these 2.
Right.
To win the series.
Yeah. I mean, let's kind of talk about like a very honest and frank discussion on where we think the series goes from here.
Well, you've got to win 3 out of 4. So there's the baseline, and two of those four will be started by Clayton Kershaw and Rich Hill.
And
if it goes that far,
right? And two of the four could also you could see Kershaw in some manner. I mean, he could come in game seven as a reliever. So
as much as we point out how they're struggling against the best pitchers, they're going to need to perform against the best pitchers to win the series, at least one of the two.
Yep.
And I mean, that's just the reality. You can't lose against the lesser pitchers. They've got to beat Urias and Maeda if they see him when they see him again, and then they've got to get to one of these two guys. And that's why I was so optimistic about tonight, is I thought, you know, you could get to Hill because he throws a lot of pitches. He's not super efficient like Kershaw is, and he had showed signs of that where he was running the pitch count up and they let him off the hook. And that's why tonight was so frustrating. So moving forward, you can't do that again. And right. they can't.
Yeah, I think optimistically, I think if the Cubs can get back on track tomorrow night or on Wednesday night, I think they can get to Kershaw. I think if this team is clicking, and this isn't a thing where it can take them, you know, like, oh, over the next week, you know, the offense needs to start putting it together. No, I think they need to do it tomorrow night, which is unfortunate because it's just putting more pressure. Like, everything right now is putting pressure on them. But that's the playoffs. I mean, it is win or go home, and that is pressure. And so this team needs to learn how to deal with that. And maybe tomorrow night, Wednesday night, because most people are going to be listening to this on Wednesday, that can be where they learn how to do this. And I think they can beat, I know they can beat Rich Hill. I think the next time they face him, I think that they would fare better. I think they can beat Kershaw. It's not like a given, obviously, but I think they can beat him. And so I don't think that this series is over. I just think it's going to be tough. And if they come out of this winners, I think it will be a huge experience. It'll be valuable that they will have learned how to do this. And so that's what I'm optimistic about. I think they can do it. I don't know if they will, but I think they can. And if they do, they will be a much better and more experienced team because of it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
That's as optimistic as I'm getting tonight.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to beat the lesser pitchers, and it really is. It's you've got to go one game at a time. You have to go out, win tomorrow, and then you're at an even series. So
right, and you're in an even series.
Forward, then there's your
right. Like you just said, you're at an even series, and you have home field advantage in that three game series because two of the final games will be played at Wrigley Field. So change the tone and win tomorrow night. Andy, I don't think we really gave you a chance to.
No, that's fine. I mean, we've seen them struggle offensively and it take a long time for them to get on track, you know, over a long period of time. But like Kurt said, we've also seen it flip on, you know, like a switch. So what is it going to be? I think it all hinges on can they flip that switch and get it turned on before it's too late. And I, like you said, I think they can do it. Yeah. So,
yep.
Yes, we can. We never quit. I hope that they're hanging on to that.
Yeah, I think. I think this is the manager to help them through this, and I think that the firepower is there, and I think they could honestly come back with a vengeance, and I don't think it would be too hard to kind of. Take a lot of the momentum away from the Dodgers. I think that the Cubs offense has the potential to do that. So even with Kershaw on the horizon, I think it's doable. So anything else you guys want to add about tonight's game or game four before we wrap it up?
I think that's it.
All right. Well, hopefully we've helped you something. I don't know. I think my goal was like, okay, we're going to sit down and then we'll just kind of like talk ourselves into positivity. I don't think I've necessarily found that positivity. But you know, if you're down, don't let it ruin your day. Don't let it. It's just a game, and we're not playing it. You're not playing it. We can't. We have no control over it. We're just spectators, and so do your best to play the role of a spectator. And but at the same time, don't be, you know, don't be too down. And I think we've hopefully kind of explained how the Cubs can come back and take this series. So I think that does it. So thank you for listening. And this episode was brought to you by all of our Patreon supporters. It's how we pay the podcasting bills. It's how we do our live events. With doing the extra episodes this October, it's helped us pay for the extra bandwidth and storage and everything. So thank you to all the Patreon supporters that helped make that possible. If you would like to help support our show, you can do so for as little as $1 a month. And you can do that. There's pledging levels that go up from there. There's different perks. Sent more perks out today. I have more going out tomorrow. And so if you're interested in doing that, becoming a supporter, you can go to patreon.com/IVMV. That's patreon.com/IVMV. Also, I have all shirts, t-shirt sizes, except for 3XL in stock right now. And if you use the coupon code NLCS at IVMV.com/store, then you can get an IVMV shirt for $12, 20% off. And I will mail that immediately and get that to you. So thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow night, hopefully, to talk about how the Cubs have gotten back on track and taking control of this series and now have home field advantage in a 3-game series. I'm pulling for that. I think that's going to happen. So thank you for listening, and until Wednesday night, go Cubs.
Hey guys, this is Stuart from St. Louis. My prediction for the game tonight is that I will watch about an hour of it and then go to sleep because I have to wake up at 3 in the morning to catch a 5 a.m. flight that I have to fly. And I don't think people really like sleepy pilots. This follows up tomorrow where I have to get up again before 5 in the morning, and then the next day where I'm in Canada and have to get up before 4 in the morning in Canada. So I don't know what's going to happen, and I'm not sure I'll figure out what happens until maybe this weekend. Either way, go Cubs. And if you could just, you know, keep things on the down low, don't spoil anything for me, I'd really appreciate it. Thanks. Gonna watch it burn.